Good afternoon. My name is Tara Taylor, and I'm the Program Director of the We Run This City Youth Marathon Program. Today, we're going to present a brief overview of the program and some of the results of this innovative youth fitness program that was started in Cleveland in 2006. This will be a team-led presentation. I will be describing the program overview, and Dr. Borowski will describe our evaluation results. We would like to acknowledge some of the co-authors that are in our audience today, Ryan Coffrin. We Run This City is made possible through a multi-collaborative involving not only the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, but many community partners who dedicate people, resources, and their time. The mission of the We Run This City program is to encourage Cleveland's young people to develop healthy habits and make exercise a lifelong activity. It is important to note here that this program is not just for athletes or those that are the most active. The ultimate goal is to create patterns of lifelong activity. Crossing the finish line is just the beginning. Our students are recruited by coaches, usually their PE teachers, within their schools to join a team. While we usually have 1 to 2 high school teams, the majority of our students are in the 6th through 8th grade. The teams train at their schools 2 to 3 times a week, with at least half of the school teams running inside the school buildings, using their hallways and their staircases as their trails or the tracks. There are 3 options for training. The program currently has 3 options, each one leading to participation in the Rite Aid Cleveland Marathon in May. The first option is referred to the marathon, and that is where students accumulate 25 miles over 12 to 14 weeks, and then on race day, they complete their last 1.2 miles of the marathon. We have about 80% of our students that participate in this event. The second option is the 10K, where the participants safely build up to running 6.2 miles on race day, and we have about 20% of our participants that participate in this event. Our last option is the half marathon, and the students run 13.1 miles on race day, and we typically have about 7 students that participate in this event. The Rite Aid Cleveland Marathon is a premier running event that many runners use to qualify for the Boston Marathon. Our students get to run alongside 15,000 adult participants. As you can see, the arrows point to our students right up in the front line. This is a real world running experience for them. They get to participate with other runners. It's not just another fun run. Well, it is fun, but it's not a kid's fun run. To give you an idea of what the program looks like, we start off recruiting and enrollment in December and January. We then kick the program off at the YMCA, where we also collect our baseline data, usually 1 to 2 weeks before the start of our training period. Our training starts in February, and it goes through May for about 12 to 14 weeks, and our race day is the third Sunday in May. Our final activity is to bring the students back down to the YMCA 1 to 2 weeks after the race to collect our follow-up assessments. In addition to the in-school training, we bring the students down to the YMCA for conditioning clinics. These clinics include activities such as cycling, weight training, Pilates, yoga, a motivational speaker, and nutritional assessments and nutritional classes. It also gives the students the opportunity to train with students from all over the city. We offer 3 practice races for the 10K and the half marathon students. These races are organized by local running clubs, and it gives our students a chance to practice pacing and proper race etiquette. Our program would not be possible without the volunteers that help us out at each event. Race day. We have 27 schools, 27 dedicated teachers, 400 kids, 200 volunteers, and over 10,000 miles run during training. The students receive a cool marathon medal, they cross the finish line, but most of all, they reach their goal. The program has become very popular for both students and schools. When we began in 2006, we had 81 students from 7 schools cross the finish line. And each year after, the number has grown from 192 to 283 to 394. And this year, we had a total of 403 students to cross the finish line on race day. So, as you can see, the kids love it, the coaches love it, the schools love it, but does it increase fitness and does it improve health? Dr. Borowski is now going to take it from here and share our 2010 results.
Thanks, Tara. So with, as with the program, this evaluation is a multi-organizational collaborative that was added in 2008. We believe that it's unique because the community partners have been active in the evaluation, not just in the design, but also in the data collection itself. Parents do provide written consent, and we have IRB approval to conduct the evaluation. And as Tara mentioned, the assessments take place at the YMCA one or two weeks before the training begins, and then 1 or 2 weeks after the race. So data is collected via stations that are located throughout the YMCA. Each one is led by a trained community partner. So for example, the school nurses conduct the blood pressure readings. The YMCA fitness staff does the fitness measures, and then we have university nursing and nutrition students that do the body measurements. And we use standard national protocols. The evaluation includes physical measurements, fitness measures, and self-reported measures of physical activity, attitudes, intentions, and behaviors. Blood pressure and the distinctions of elevated blood pressure, that of pre-hypertension or hypertension, are defined by the recommendations of the National High Blood Pressure Education Program Working Group. And these then are based on not just the measurements of BP, but they're standardized by age, gender, and height. BMI is measured both continuously as a Z-score as well as categorically by the CDC's categories of over 85% and over 95%. Waist and hip ratio, everyone knows it's the smaller the number, the better, you know, less apple, more pear. So one of our two fitness measures that we use is called the sit-to-stand test. And this is simply the number of seconds it takes the student to move from a sitting to a standing to a sitting position 10 times. This assesses both lower body strength and balance. The second measure is the pacer test, or some people call it the beep test, which involves running continuously between two points that are about 20 meters apart. And these runs are synchronized by a pre-recorded set of beeps, which play at set intervals. And the students must complete the segment before the beep, and then we count up the number of completed segments. The measure assesses cardiorespiratory fitness and endurance. We also assess a host of self-reported measures of attitudes, intentions, and behaviors. And as you can see with the kids in the picture, all of them are collected via handheld audio PDAs, audio-supported PDAs, where the questions are read to them. Today, we're going to focus our results on the 2010 results. And although there are a small number of high school students that participated, we're going to limit our analysis to the 6th to 8th graders. 520 of these students from 24 different schools completed the baseline assessment. And of these, over 70% completed the training and the race. The average age of participants is 13, with more boys than girls this year, although this ratio does change over the years. The program is quite diverse, both with regard to race and ethnicity, which is representative of the Cleveland School District. And as mentioned earlier, this program is not just for athletes. Nearly 40% of our students were overweight or obese at baseline, and 17% were found to have elevated blood pressures. This has been found consistently across all 3 years of our evaluation. And students are fairly sedentary, as we'd assume. Most choose sedentary activities in their free time, and most of them report about 3.5 hours of blue screen time per day. The students were reassessed then 1 or 2 weeks after the race, and of these 520, 347 completed the baseline or the post-race assessment. Non-followed students differed only in one way, in the sense in that their BMI was slightly higher than the followed students, but they did not differ by BP or by the fitness measures. A fair number of students did drop out of the program for personal reasons, but we have to admit that some were more systematic, such as at the last day two schools decided to have a field trip. And since it was a week before school ended, so some of the numbers represent that as well. So after the race, we asked students what they liked about the program, and it is reassuring to see that getting in shape and gaining confidence were among the top choices, and not the choice of free shoes, which is something they get after completing 20 miles of training. And also, not surprisingly, for the worst part, they said their body hurt. So this is a one-group design, and so therefore the basic analysis is limited to paired sample t-tests for continuous variables and chi-squares. In addition to the full sample that we'll show you, we also did stratify based on baseline BMI, training dosage, and blood pressure. I have to say that due to the time limit, we are going to only focus on the physical and fitness measures today and none of the self-reported measures. So first, let's start with the fitness measures. In the sit to stand, at baseline, on average, it took 9.17 seconds for the participants to complete 10 of these sit to stand to sit cycles. And then after the training and race, these same students took just 8.32 seconds, which was statistically significant. The second test was the PACER test, and here we're looking at the number of completed segments. Prior to training, the average was just over 33 completed segments. After the training and after the race, they completed an additional 7 segments, increasing to up to 40 segments in completion, also significant. So next we're going to look at the body measurements, BMI, and the waist-to-hip ratio. First, across the total sample, there was a slight reduction in the proportion of students who had BMIs in the overweight or obese category from 35% to 31%. However, what's more compelling is when you look at the kids who were overweight or obese at baseline, 119 of them. Among these students, there was a significant change in their BMI Z-score, which is 1.6 to 1.53. It's still very high. It's over a standard deviation and a half high, but it is declining. And then when we look at the changes in the categories, 41% of the students moved at least one category, which means they moved either from being obese to overweight, overweight to normal, or even obese to normal. We actually found that 12% of the students then moved into the normal range, including 2 of the students that started out in the obese range. However, their body shapes did not change. Next, we'll look at blood pressure. So here we see at baseline, over 18% of the followed students had elevated blood pressure. 14% were considered prehypertensive, 4% as hypertensive. The portion of students with EBP, or elevated blood pressure, dropped in half at post-test to 8.7, with just 7.5 in the prehypertensive and 1.2 considered hypertensive. We have to tell you, though, that this was last year's results, and as you can see, it was even more dramatic of a change from 20.2% to 6.2. And these results that we've seen now, we've been consistently seeing over the 3 years of the evaluation. How am I doing on time? Ooh, okay. So I'm going to quickly go through these. These are the stratified results, and it was very hard to try to get an idea of how to show a lot of data. So we're going to split these into training dosage, as well as BMI status and BP, and just showing the statistical significance of the results. So for example, when you look here, we're looking at training duration. You can see where training is highly associated with changes in BP. On the other hand, it does not appear that training levels had an impact on BMI, at least not for this overall group. And third, that we see the results of the reported change in the fitness levels did not appear. It appeared at all levels of training. And as we discussed earlier, as you can see, this most significant impact were among the kids who started out as overweight or obese at baseline, with changes in blood pressure, BMI, as well as the fitness measures. And this is an interesting, so this is the last one looking at BP at baseline, and as you can see, the change in elevated BP. What's interesting, of the normal kids, 6% of the students actually went from normal BPs to an elevated blood pressure. But at a closer look at them, 6% of them, a closer look at them, nearly all of them were students that had the lowest attendance, lowest training frequency, and the lowest number of miles run. And I'm going to do this very quickly. We have 148 students who have participated in the project for 2 years. And so we wanted to look at their blood pressure over a 2-year period. So 48 students had elevated blood pressure at the beginning. And this shows you the two-year. And so if I can show you, I don't know how this works. So it shows you that 48 started, they dropped down, which is what we wanted to see, thankfully. They stayed basically the same, and in their second year of programming, dropped even more. So it is a sustainable change and a continuous change. So limitations, obviously we don't have a control group, and that is a significant limitation in being able to compare the development. And the second piece is that we did not have data on, because It could be that the kids and changes in BP are due to medication. We have asked the children if they're on medication. Only one child reported to be on blood pressure medication, and actually he's the one child that stayed as elevated in both time points. In this upcoming year, though, we are very pleased to say that we are going to have a control group starting in January, so in our next year there will be a comparison school. So to summarize, we think that this program has great potential, and it has had shown great potential in reducing health disparities that we see in our Cleveland youth. It is surprising to see such an impact on such a short program, but we do believe that it's probably an indication of the low physical activity in the schools currently. So it's sort of the couch potato potential. And just wanted to say the last thing, it is the program retention that's the most exciting, because we do have kids coming back asking, one, is their high school doing this, and two, can they come back and train with the middle school students? So if you happen to be in Cleveland in May, we need volunteers, and we just wanted to thank our funders. Thank you.